Hello, welcome to the spot to follow the most amazing, astounding, astonishing, fabulous, fantastic, heroic journeys of the mothers returning to work. Hear from the real women who made it and are walking on the yellow brick road with you. Plus hear discussions and inspirations from the experts, everything to support you on your personal journey back to the world of work. This is Working Mother Reports and I am your host, Evren. Today we will hear from wonderful, wondrous Chalyn Newman as she is graciously sharing her own personal journey returning to work.
Okay, great. So, thank you. Well, thank you for making time.
Sure, of course. It's an important, sounds like an important study.
You have returned to work for a while now. I just was wondering how that process was for you after having children.
Well, there were several things that happened that led to this, right? So, yes, I had children. My youngest daughter is 11 and my older daughter is 13.
Okay.
And my ex-husband, my husband at the time, had a job, a corporate job, and I was a teacher. Mm-hmm. And so I decided that, and he traveled like 2 weeks a month. And so I decided it didn't really make sense for me to keep working and not have someone at home with a kid, with young children, that I should stay home with my kids.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when I left the teaching profession. But I continued to do some consulting on the side. So I did do some curriculum writing and consulting throughout the time that my kids were younger, but very little, like not anything substantial in terms of the hours that I put in. So I did have a good stint of time when I was at home, really just being with my kids and volunteering at school and volunteering at our synagogue and doing a lot of unpaid work.
Yeah.
So that was for about 10 years. And then my husband and I divorced separated, I guess it was like five or six years ago. And when that happened, I decided we split the time with the kids.
Mm-hmm.
So I had this chunk of, you know, 2 days a week or 3 days a week when I didn't have my kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, oh, well, this is perfect because now I can jump back into the labor force because I have dedicated days of the week that I don't feel like I have to make a choice about whether I'm here for my kids or not, because it's not in my hands anymore.
So in some ways, you wanted to return to work. It's not that you had to return to work at that point.
Yeah, no, I didn't have to return to work at that point. I wanted to return to work.
Okay.
And I wanted to start to rebuild the career that I had left behind.
Okay.
Figure out what direction I wanted to go.
Okay.
So that was when I started teaching at San Francisco State.
Mm-hmm.
And I started teaching in the... I started teaching a lower division or an upper division undergraduate course with a focus in education. It was a community service learning course.
Mm-hmm.
And I did that for a little while, and then I moved into School of Ed, and now I teach in the Graduate School of Education. I teach teachers, and I do supervise teachers and that sort of thing.
Great.
But I'm an adjunct professor there, so I don't have a full-time... stable job.
Yeah.
At this point.
Okay. But is this the career direction that you want to take it, or is this kind of an interim thing for you?
That is an excellent question. it's something I've been thinking about quite a bit. I have a master's, not a PhD, so I could never get a full-time professorship without a PhD.
Mm-hmm.
So I considered for some years on and off whether I wanted to go back and do a PhD, and I'm pretty sure that I'm not going to do that. The field that I'm in at the university, I'm not sure that it pays for me to spend the time that it would take to do that.
Okay.
So more than likely, I'll continue to lecture because I love to do it, and I like supervising, and it sort of gets my brain back into this, but I'm also doing workshops with a colleague of mine. We run executive function workshops for school districts.
Okay.
So I do that on the side. I also have a couple books in my head.
What was the workshop?
I said I have a couple of books. I have a couple of books in my head.
Okay, okay. I missed the subject of your workshop, sorry.
Oh, sorry, executive function.
Okay.
It's in the field of education.
Okay.
These are workshops to help students develop the skill set that they need in order to function and be successful in school.
Oh, okay, okay.
It's sort of a burgeoning area of research in neuroeducation.
Oh, that sounds very exciting. And you do this outside in the private industry or for?
Right now I do it one of my very good friends is also in the field of education. She runs a tutoring center. So we pitch these workshops to districts and sometimes schools come to us and want us to come and train their teachers and their parents.
Okay. So it is a business already for you on the side.
I have many businesses. That's part of why
this
part-time lecture position works for me, because I actually have multiple jobs.
Okay, okay. Yeah, so is it that you're still exploring, or do you like having a bit of all these different things going on at the same time?
I think it's that I like the freedom of not being in one place,
okay.
Having to be at an office from, 8 to 4 or 8 to 5 or whatever that frame is. That's not necessarily the model of work that I'm looking for. And so I've been able to patchwork several things together.
Okay.
And I'm also, I think I tend to be a very creative person, and so I put my hand in a lot of pots.
Yeah. And successfully, it sounds like.
Well, we'll see.
Well, so is this portfolio career, maybe I can say, about what you're pursuing right now in some ways? Is this something that got developed for you after having kids, or was it something that was always there? Or if it wasn't for the kids, maybe you'd just stick with the university and education and it would just take you somewhere else. How do you see that?
I think it actually has more to do with my divorce than my kids.
Okay, okay.
To be honest.
Okay.
I think that I'm naturally a creative, industrious person. I've always been, through my life, done things on, from when I was young, I wrote my own poetry book and published it and did my own photography. I had a photo lab and then I got involved with ceramics and did that. So I'm definitely an industrious and sort of interested. I studied nutrition for a while because I got involved with triathlons. And then I actually had a nutrition business, which still occasionally I get clients for on the side.
Wow.
So it is definitely within my nature to be industrious and entrepreneurial. But it wasn't until I no longer had a husband who was the breadwinner in my home and potentially the person who I was putting my energy into and my focus was on.
Okay.
That I recognized that I wanted to have my own set of accomplishments.
Okay. So it seems that it's made you to stop living your accomplishments vicariously.
Right.
Yeah.
Instead of supporting him in his accomplishments, which he was very successful in, I decided, now I'm going to try to figure out what mine are. But at the same time, my struggle, and this is probably a struggle that a lot of children have when they decide to stay home, my struggle is I don't want to not be available to my children. So how do I balance my personal interests and my desire to be involved professionally in the world? How do I balance that with the responsibility that I feel to my children?
Okay.
And to be there for them. And I still have to balance that, even though I am divorced and I have a split time. My ex-husband travels a lot and I still take the kids extra time. And
yeah.
So, I still struggle with that balance. You know, how much is too much? How much is enough?
Well, I should say I hear that from I heard that so far from interviews from other women who had many career options in front of them that were working for, you know, companies successfully or had some other great job offers in front of them. And they were struggling then with how much to take on so that they do not sacrifice the quality of time at home with their kids. So that seems to be a common thread in some ways. I know it doesn't exactly refer to what you were saying, but it sounds similar to that.
I think it's a very common thread for women especially, and it's that supermom idea that was built and talked about, I think, probably in the 70s or 80s. I'm trying to remember when that was historically, but you know, there was this sort of idea of being a supermom. You could go to work full time and you could take care of your kids. And, you know, I think that many of us feel that that's not realistic. And so part of my desire to have a flexible job where, so that, you know, if I work at the university half time, I can still get health benefits there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can support the health benefit needs of my family, but I can't necessarily support the monetary needs. So I can do these other jobs on the side, but then I can do them from home. So then I can still be at home for my kids. So it's part of trying to sort of create a structure that allows me all of those things that I want.
Yeah. And you were saying that it's not only the kids that lead you to the decisions that you're making, that you made or you're making about your career at this point. You do like the not being 9-to-5. You have a lot of different, a variety of skill sets that you found success in the outside world. And like you're saying, you are motivated to accomplish things in the outside world, regardless of your kids. It's just, it seems having kids just adds one more point to the equation for you.
Yes, I think so. And I think that many of us feel like kids are part of our accomplishment.
Yes.
And so, because they're they're your progeny.
Yeah, yeah.
So they represent to you in many ways what you hope to accomplish in the world. Your children, you know, are part of that. And so that balance for those of us who want to be very intentional about our choices in life, it creates, a greater struggle because you want to be intentional about your work and you want to be intentional about your children. You want to be intentional about the way you live. And, you know, so it's an act of constant reevaluation.
Yeah.
You know, where is this? Where do I stand with this? How well am I doing this? And trying to manage all those pieces so that you do them well.
Yeah, and there's no solid ground in there. Part of what I'm hearing is you see yourself being there's the possibility for you to be much more successful in different businesses in more than one possibly, but being more successful means dedicating more time towards those efforts, which is not necessarily something that you're willing to do at this point. And, you know, because you're defining, like you said, success in different ways than some other people might.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's that sense that I know that I could choose to pick one work path and follow it, and then I would be very successful by sort of common measures of what success is if I were to do that. But then I would be giving up on the success that I hope to accomplish or achieve with and for my children.
Mm-hmm.
And I would give up on the success that I hope to achieve in finding balance in life and not feeling regretful for not having had that balance in my life. So it's sort of a redefining of what is success and accepting that I may not achieve a particular level that at one point I thought was the penultimate thing to achieve in my life.
Yeah, yeah. And that is the hard point, I guess, because it is harder to define that kind of success. So that's what leads to always reassessing your decisions and your route on that sense. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not measurable. It's not a quantitative
formula.
It's very qualitative. And so how you define those qualitative measures is going to be different potentially than how I define them.
So I bet
as you grow, that changes.
Yes, yes. So I was thinking when you say that, I bet it does take a lot of self-confidence because you need to take your own word for what you define as success and be able to stand to what you see in your environment, you know, and what other people might perceive as success. That probably has taken some time to build that kind of confidence, I imagine. Is that right? Am I off?
Yeah, no, I think that's probably true, and I think it's something that, I don't know that, I'm sure people would say that I'm a confident person in terms of the way that I present myself. But that reflection, that self-reflection that I think happens on a daily basis, and sort of the larger term of looking at, you know, what were the goals that I set for this six-month period or this one-year period, and what have I achieved, where was I, where am I now?
Mm-hmm.
But that has to happen in order to maintain that confidence because otherwise you're allowing other factors outside of you to define who you are. There is definitely a strong, you have to have a strong belief that you are the definer of who you are in this world, that you define who you are.
Yeah.
Other people don't.
Yeah. So do you formally go through that process of setting goals every 6 months and checking back on them on and off?
I set daily goals. Every day I make a list,
okay,
and I set goals, and I achieve some of them, and some of them end up on the next day's goals. So very small. I start with the very small, like, clean the basement, make 5 phone calls, grade 10 papers,
okay,
you know, whatever the list is.
Yeah.
So, you know, very small, definable goals. And then I have larger goals that are maybe 1-year, 2-year, 5-year, 10-year goals.
Mm-hmm.
I have financial goals that I review regularly. So every year I review my financial goals. Probably every 3 months I review where I am and where I'd hope to be.
Mm-hmm.
These are all things also that I have to tell you really followed my divorce, because before then I was sharing these responsibilities with an ex-husband who happened to be in finance. So I didn't really need to do any of that. So I, through my divorce, I took that as an opportunity to really develop my own skill set in a number of areas that I hadn't had to do before.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was really empowering. So now I have the ability to set goals for myself, to understand what it takes to meet those goals, whether they're financial or personal.
Yeah.
As far as professional goals, I'm not as clear in terms of setting goals for myself, because I don't think I have been clear yet about where I want to end up professionally.
Mm-hmm.
I have several ideas, but the path is not so clear for me there.
Okay. Well, it sounds like you're in the testing
zone. So I reevaluate the questions, but I don't necessarily have a goal I'm trying to meet.
Okay. You said you are evaluating the questions.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Like, where do I want to be professionally this year?
Okay.
How do I feel about working part-time? You know, how do I feel about my current structure? What would I change about it? If I change it this way and it became this, you know, this kind of a job, how would I feel about that?
Mm-hmm.
So I do a huge amount of self-reflection on a very regular basis.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, in a sense, that redefines my goals.
Okay. And is this something that you go through alone, or do you have a support network that you built for that?
That's an excellent question. I do a lot of that on my own, but I definitely talked. I have some very good friends,
mm-hmm.
and I talk to them about, we all talk to each other about where we are and what our hopes are. I have several other strong female entrepreneurial friends, and we sit and talk about these things. And I talk to my parents.
Yeah.
You know, I definitely have a network of people who I know are in my corner and that I can use as resources.
Yeah. Well,
which I think is hugely important.
Yes, yes. So you can identify some people around you. But it seems, you know, these are the hard questions right now because things are kind of up in the air for you and not quite well defined, like you say. And financial is more cut clear. You can just set
right.
it, and it seems that you have been able to get what you planned financially. But
mm-hmm.
your success and your career, those are more still in development.
Yeah.
They're not as concrete for you at this point, it seems. Yeah, and thank you for being open about that in our conversation. I appreciate that.
Oh, absolutely. I do think that had I not married somebody who was so work-driven and financially successful, that I probably would be in a different place now professionally. If I hadn't stayed home with my kids and I'd really driven myself at work, which
mm-hmm.
I am naturally inclined to do anyway,
okay.
I probably would be in a different, you know, I would be in a more stable job position.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't make sense given the position that I was in at that time when I had kids.
Is that a?
I would have paid a nanny. I would have paid a nanny as much as I would have made.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
My husband made plenty of money, so I didn't really need to do that.
Yeah. Is that a regret in some ways right now, or do you see that as having opened some other door for you?
I think regret is I don't know what the word, or if there's a word for it. It's not a very valuable tool,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
regret. It's somewhat selfish to choose to use that. As it's sort of like a, let me go down my rabbit hole and feel bad for myself
okay.
kind of choice. So I try not to feel regretful about any choices I've made, and rather just to see that, to understand why I made the choices I did.
Yes.
Who was I at that time? What were the choices I made, and why did I make them? Who am I now?
Mm-hmm.
What choices do I want to make, and why would I make them different than I did at that time?
Yeah.
And to be happy with all of the amazing things that I have at the moment.
Yeah.
I think we all very easily can get stuck in the feeling bad about bad choices, because we all make bad choices, but bad choices lead to opportunities.
Well, yes, I guess I was trying to understand, and I completely agree with your process there. So it sounds like you are just taking it as a looking at your process and taking inventory of what you have, and
mm-hmm.
and maybe that root from the past, and you watching yourself, observing yourself, making those decisions, and what skill set you have is going to determine what you're going to be doing in the future. That, I don't know. I'm just going off on on my counseling side, I think, a little bit there. Sorry.
Well, I think that I recognize now that there are many. One of the things that I recognize about being, I'm 45, about being 45,
Mm-hmm.
is that I have a lot of years of experience, and both professionally and personally and as a parent,
mm-hmm.
that enable me to make lots of different work choices
mm-hmm.
in the world if I wanted to. I think I have And it's not necessarily that I think that I know everything, because I know I don't. It's just that I know that I'm capable of just about anything. Like, I know that I can learn anything that you put in front of me. If you put it in front of me and you give me the instructions and you give me time to think about it and the resources, I'll figure it out and I'll be able to do it.
Yeah.
And so that's sort of how I approach life and work now. And so now I feel like I'm in a place with work, with my lecturing, my teaching. I feel like, okay, I've got this now. I know how to do this now. I've spent some time, 4 or 5 years doing this. I feel like I've developed this skill set. Is this the direction I want to keep going, or is there a way I can morph this and make it become something that's more solid as my kids grow older and I have more time?
Okay. Of having many choices, but in fact trying to decide which path is the best way to pursue and put your efforts into for that life that you want to build for yourself and your kids and your family. So, you know, and it seems right now you're trying to define what that future, what that life is like.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
That's it in a nutshell.
Yeah, so it's kind of a nerve-wracking and exciting time, it sounds like.
Yes, all of the above. But I just try to remind myself that each day I'm developing new skills and that those will enable me to make the choices I want when I'm ready.
Yeah, yeah. And that...
So. Yeah, and I really want to continue to be available for my kids. So that's the big balancing act. Still there.
Yeah, it's...
And then I have that question is, am I showing them a model that's sustainable for them when they become women and mothers?
I think these questions are all shared by all the women so far that I talked to. So,
yeah.
Thank you very much.
Well, I appreciate you delving into these questions, and I look forward to hearing your podcast.
Yes.
I hope that you'll have some insight for us.
I very much appreciate you making time for me and being so open about your experience. Thank you again.
All right. Well, thank you, and best of luck. I look forward to hearing more.
Yes. Have a good day.
And here you heard it from wonderful Chalyn Newman, who turned the challenge into numerous opportunities. To hear more on the astounding return to work journeys of real women, subscribe to this podcast, Working Mother Reports. This is your host, Evren. See you next time.